This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am delighted to be joined by a South African living in the UK, Mr. Brett Dawson. Brett, how are you doing?
Hi, Pete. Very good. Thank you. Lovely to be on the podcast. Appreciate the opportunity.
No problem at all. No problem at all. It's great to have you with us. Brett and I have met, I think we've met a couple of times, actually, haven't we, in London at Christopher's Youpreneur Summit.
Yes.
And we've had a meal together, and he is, honestly, a very nice, upstanding chap, and it is a pleasure to have him with us. Brett, do you want to just give yourself a bit of an intro and a bit of background as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Brett Dawson. I help people improve their time management and workload management skills. I do this by helping people to identify and catch time dragons. These are monsters that stop people from being productive with their time. Hmm. I live in England, in the countryside, north of London. And for UK listeners who know the UK a little bit better than other people internationally, I live in the countryside in between Milton Keynes, Bedford, and Northampton. And as Pete's already alluded to, and you can tell from my accent, I was born in South Africa. I've lived in the UK for 12 years, so half of my career has been in South Africa and half has been in Europe. My dad being British, my mother's British, my dad's South African. And I've got two kids who live with me, my partner, and both my kids are younger than 10 years old. So that can be quite challenging at times, but most enjoyable.
I know it's one of the it's one of the blessings, as well as a, I don't want to use the word curse, but challenges, I suppose, about you know, being home based and having children. It's brilliant that you can spend so much time with them, but also when you want to get a bit of peace and quiet, maybe you want to record a podcast, for example, and and then there's stomping around on the ceiling because they're upstairs or they're doing whatever. It can be a bit of a challenge.
For sure.
So I really want to sort of start talking to you about this whole concept about time dragons a little bit. I know you talk about catching your time dragon quite a lot, and you've mentioned it just in your little intro there. So could you unpack that a little bit for us?
Yes, I thought it might be useful to start off with a background of where I've come from and, mm-hmm. and how I actually got to this, because it helps put the idea into context.
Yeah, go for it.
So I'm a chemical engineer by trade, and like other engineers, I also studied an MBA. Now, lots of people have studied MBAs these days, but the thing that makes me different is that I've also studied a master's in philosophy and future studies, which is quite an unusual and rare degree. There are only 3 academic institutions in the world that offer this degree.
Wow.
Now, the thing that's interesting about my academic history is the fact that I've done most of it studying on a part-time capacity. So most of this has been done while I've been working full-time, and I have spent almost a little bit short of 10 years studying on a part-time capacity. And what this has forced me to do is it's forced me to really focus on how I focus on my time management and my workload management. And it's forced me to become quite productive with my time utilization. The other thing that has forced me to focus on my time management is that for a lot of my career, while I was not what I haven't been studying, I've been working on some type of side hustle in one form or another. So most of my career, I've had a full-time day job working in corporate environments. And I've always been interested in entrepreneurship. But the problem with being a chemical engineer is that most of the work that we do is large, complex projects working in multidisciplinary teams. And these projects often involve multi-million dollar or multi-billion dollar investments. So this isn't something that you can really do on your own quite easily.
No.
Attempting to start your own business as a chemical engineer is actually quite challenging.
Yeah, I guess, fact, I guess there's a little bit of a sort of sort of genuine thing. A chemical engineer working from his garage isn't quite the same as, you know. Sorry to interrupt, but it was
that's fine. That came to mind. I used to joke and say that the only thing I could possibly consider doing on a smaller scale is making alcohol, drugs, or explosives. And of course, all of these are highly regulated. They're full of technical and ethical problems, and none of them really interest me. So it was never really an option for me.
I get that. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted.
That's all right. So, the other problem with engineering is that most engineers actually usually they're in demand, which is relatively good for job security. But every now and again, you get an economic downturn that comes along, or some type of financial crisis, or you get a dip in commodity markets. The oil price drops from $80 down to $40 or $30 per barrel. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that you get tens of thousands of engineers that get laid off or made redundant at the same time. And it's a terrible time to be looking for work, because there's no work out there, and there's lots of competition with lots of engineers trying to find work at the same time. Mm-hmm. And this was particularly poignant for me around about the time of the financial crisis in 2008 and 2009, which was a really bad time for me. Because at the time, I just switched over from the oil and gas industry into working in the renewable energy industry. Because I realized that what I wanted to do was I wanted to stop being part of the carbon emissions problem, and I wanted to be part of the solutions.
Yep.
But the... during the financial crisis, the renewable energy consulting market crashed and dried up. There was no work, and the whole industry lost a lot of momentum. And during that period of time, I was effectively unemployed for a year and a half. You know, I was collaborating and working with people on projects and trying to do initiatives to try and generate some type of interest and revenue and income, but I was effectively unpaid for a year and a half. Mm. And what this hit home to me was the importance of diversifying your income sources and trying to make sure that your livelihood is treated with as a portfolio of income rather than one individual source of income, which is usually quite tempting for professionals like engineers.
Yep.
So if you look at the theme that's emerging here, if you look at everything that I've been doing over my career, if I haven't been studying part-time, I've been working on some type of side hustle as a way to try and generate a bit of extra income and diversify my work focus. And both of these activities have really forced me to focus on how I utilize my time and how I manage my workload. And especially when the kids came along, it became essential for me to be able to focus on how I can be more productive. And the interesting thing about a lot of the skills that we develop over time is that you get to a point where you think everybody else does things the way that you do things, and you don't realize that something that you've become very good at is actually a strength that you potentially are better than other people at. Mm. You're blind to your strengths. And it's only over the last 2 years that I've started realizing that the insights that I've gained on my time management and workload management skills is something that I could possibly help other people with. And this is what's led me to coming up with this time dragon analogy to help people with these problems. So I wanted to, I thought it was useful before we talk about time dragons, just to step back a little bit and to talk about time management versus time mastery.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I guess there's one comment to make before that, which is that I get, basically having had a pre-chat with you before this recording, there's part of this concept is also just to identify that these principles that we're going to talk about for the next, you know, 20 minutes or so, they can be applied both to your professional life and to your personal life. There's kind of a standardization. You may come into this with what you're about to say, but I just sort of wanted to make it clear from the outset that actually the concepts we're talking about here just aren't purely to do with work in inverted commas, but can apply to all of life to make the whole thing much more efficient and work a lot more like a nice sort of gearbox.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's essential to be able to find ways of doing your personal work as well as your professional work. To me, it's almost the same thing. If you think of things that need maintenance around your house or your car needs maintenance, if you don't address those issues and get them done, you're not going to be able to go to work and get your work done. So the two are interlinked. Mm. And you're right. The time management skills apply just as much in your personal life as what they do in your professional life. So let's talk a little bit about time management and time mastery. In my opinion, time management is really an exercise in mastery. If you read George Leonard's book on mastery, you'll see that mastery is actually a continuous process, and you never really get to the final destination. There are always small incremental improvements that you're making along the way. It's a bit like the concept in mathematics of an asymptote, where it's a line that you can constantly approach and get closer and closer to, but you can never actually hit the line. You never actually reach a final point of mastery. But it's not something to be discouraged about. It's something to embrace. So one way to think about this is to think about riding on a bicycle. When you learn to initially in the beginning, when you're learning to ride a bicycle, you learn to balance, and you reach this point of elation where you thought, hey, I can ride a bicycle. But then what you'll find is, and something that I discovered is years later when I was a teenager, there were still one or two incidents that happened where I'd actually fallen off the bicycle. And I thought, well, what's going on here? I thought I knew how to ride a bike. And it's those incremental additional things that you learn as you spend more and more time riding your bike, where you learn to swerve at the last minute to avoid an obstacle or a stone in the road. Or if you didn't see it and you hit it, it's how you correct and use your balance to make sure that you don't fall off. Or if you do fall off, how you learn to do it better the next time something like that happens.
Yeah.
It's the riding uphill where you learn to stand into the pedals to give you more power to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning into the corner with more speed, and the faster you're traveling, the more you have to lean into the corner. So it's all these small incremental things that you learn that get that help you improve that skill and master it over time. And it's exactly the same thing that applies to time mastery. There's always something new to learn. There's always something, you can always improve existing techniques. You can always acquire new techniques. There's an art and a science to it. And to me, part of the art is trying not to take on too much at any one particular point in time. So what you really want to focus on is you want to focus on developing one skill or improving one particular skill or habit or routine, mastering that, and then moving on to the next thing.
There's a really good example there, which I know we are talking about time management, and that's the point of what we're talking about. But actually, I think that in today's world where so many things can happen instantly, people often get too hung up on that end result and forget to enjoy the journey of how you get there. Because falling off your bike, when you fall off your bike, it hurts. There's no way to gild that. But the just using that as a metaphor, there's actually so many things of the twists and turns of running a business and creating your streams of income figuring out how that works with family life, et cetera, that can just be good fun as well. You know, just because you don't get it right doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. But there's the enjoyment of that journey, which if all you're worried about is the destination, you sort of miss out on that bit, if you see what I mean. And that's probably the lion's share of the experience in many respects.
Oh, yes, for sure. And that's exactly what George Leonard in his book Mastery actually talks about. He talks about the enjoyment of the practice and the exercise, where if you're doing something like martial arts, or you are working on a mastery skill like learning a new language or learning to play an instrument, a musical instrument of some sort, the enjoyment comes out of the action, the exercise of doing the exercise, rather than an end goal, which may be playing at a concert or, being able to have a conversation.
Yep. Completely agree.
Yeah. So just getting back to the time management theme, in my opinion, the most efficient way to get anything done is to turn something into a routine. I really believe that that successful business people are successful because precisely because they've taken things that are most important to them and they've turned them into routines. So if you think of an online content creator, think of writing a blog post. It's the routine you go through of researching a new idea, writing the blog, editing it, getting it formatted and packaged, and then publishing it. Even though you're writing on different topics and those are, that's new to the process itself, the routine that you go through is the same for every single blog. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And the more you can automate these routines, the more productive your day can be. So one of the big insights for me in time mastery was realizing that there's actually a difference between routines and projects. And how you manage your routines is actually different to the way in which you manage your projects. Mm-hmm. So projects have got a defined outcome. They can be achieved within a limited period of time. And when your project's complete, you stop working on it. It's got a defined start and end point, which is unlike routines, which repeat themselves on a regular basis. So the time frame for a routine is fixed, it's repeatable, and the more you do it, the more efficient you get at it. You can start compressing it into a shorter period of time, and you can optimize it.
Yep.
Whereas with a project, it's a completely different animal. The time it takes to complete a project is open-ended. It takes as long as it takes to get the job done. It's a bit like asking yourself, how long is a piece of string?
Yep.
And this is where Parkinson's law comes into play. You must be familiar with Parkinson's law.
Yep.
Where work expands to fill the time available for its completion.
Yep.
And the frustration you'll have here is that you may set aside a certain amount of time to work on a project and you'll get to the end of that time and realize that you haven't actually completed it. So projects are tricky. And the thing that causes a lot of overwhelm with most people is that most people have got a lot more projects than they have routines. And it's how you might manage those projects that determines how effective you are at getting your work done and how well you manage your time. So this is where this idea of an overload time dragon comes in. So I thought, you asked me earlier what time dragons are. So let's talk a little bit about time dragons so that we can explain this concept. So time dragons eat up all the hours in your day. They keep adding more things to your to-do list and they make you feel overwhelmed. These time dragons create distractions and interruptions and they make it difficult for you to focus on things. And the time dragons are effectively things that stop you from being as productive as you could be. Mm-hmm. There are lots of different types of time dragons. There's the overload time dragon. This is the one that keeps adding tasks to your to-do list and makes you feel completely overwhelmed. There's the multitasking time dragon that makes you think that you can juggle lots of different tasks at the same time and eats up your effectiveness and your efficiency that way. There's the interruptions time dragon that keeps distracting you and making it difficult for you to focus on anything. So examples here are all those phone interruptions that come in, telephone calls, emails, your boss that wants you to do something, your partner that wants you to help out with something, the kids that are interrupting you for things. These are all the interruptions time dragons. And the nice thing about time dragons is that you can blame the time dragons for all the problems and the issues that you've got with your time management. So it's a way of externalizing it.
Yep.
Distancing yourself from it, not beating yourself up about it, and giving you something to focus on, which makes it slightly more manageable. So the next obvious question is, how do you catch a time dragon? Well, the way to catch a time dragon is you set a trap for it. And this is where mastery starts playing a role, because mm-hmm. the first few times that you set a trap for a time dragon, you're not the trap's not necessarily going to work. You see, time dragons are tenacious and destructive creatures. They know how to spot traps and they can find ways around them. And sometimes they even use brute force to blast their way through the traps that you set for them. So what you need to do is you need to keep building your traps and you need to keep improving your traps. And over time, you'll get better and better at catching them. So this is all a little bit abstract and I'm using a lot of analogies here. And might be a good idea to use a practical example to try and zoom into this.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. So I think the biggest problem that most people in the business world struggle with is just complete overwhelm, feeling completely overloaded. And this is the overwhelm or the overload time dragon. So this dragon loves to pile work on your desk. It more work you can pile on your desk, the happier it is. It loves to con you into believing that you can use a to-do list to solve this problem. It invites its other favorite friend, the multitasking time dragon, to come around and suck the life out of your productivity. Overload time dragon loves to remind you of all the things you need to do while you are trying to do something. It steals your focus. It manipulates your amazingly creative brain into coming up with more brilliant ideas to complement the already amazing things that you currently working on. And it strokes your ego and makes you feel that all this creativity that's bursting to the surface is really amazing. And it steals time by distracting you and making you think that you can do more than what you really have to do at this particular point in time. It stops you from getting your job done. It distracts you on a continuous basis. So how do we catch this beast? Best way to catch an overload dragon is to use a gate. The idea with a gate is you line up all the different ideas and projects that you're working on behind the gate, and you only allow them to come through the gate one by one. And what you really want to do is you want to set up what I call a decision stage gate system. So you've got a series of gates which allow projects to move through lists, and at each stage you reduce the number of projects that get through a gate and that move on to the next list. Mm-hmm. So effectively what you're doing is you're building a funnel that thins down the amount of projects that you're working on. You'll start off on your first list, which I call the infinity list or the infinity mind, where you've got thousands and thousands of ideas of things that you'd like to do. These are all the things that you've thought of at some stage or at any stage in the day over the last few months. And this list is completely unmanageable. The first gate that you need to get these ideas through is to put them onto a sometime maybe list. And at this gate, mm-hmm. you ask yourself the question, at some time in the future, am I going to have enough time to be able to do this particular project or this particular task? Is it important to me? Is it something that needs to be done? And you go from, when you go through this gate, you get onto your sometime maybe list. Now, this list can have anything from 50 to 150 projects on it. Mm-hmm. And it's also difficult to manage. But it's an important part to capture all the things you could potentially work on over a long time period. The next gate you want to get through is you want to get you want to get your projects through onto your next actions list or your next up projects list. Mm-hmm. And there shouldn't be more than about 10 to 12 items on your next up projects list. And this is the final list before you get into your work zone. So your work zone is where you actually do the work and where you start spending time. And this is the most critical phase in focusing on your time management, because anything you allow to get into your work zone is going to take up time. Mm-hmm. So the work zone has got three areas. It's got a detailed planning area. It's got a action and execution area. And it's got a holding zone. The gate that you use to allow a project to go from your next projects list onto your detailed planning list is the most important gate of all of them. And this is the one where you stop the overwhelm or the overload time dragon in its tracks. Mm-hmm. Investment that you put into planning a project, unpacking it, scoping it, deciding what resources you need to be able to execute the project, having the vision of where the project is going, what the outcomes are going to be, and breaking it up like eating an elephant into its smaller bits is massively time consuming. And it's probably the most important step in being able to successfully execute something. So we've seen this in the engineering world. What you do is you design things on paper. You schedule them, you plan them, and then you put it into the execution zone where you actually do the work. Mm-hmm. And by the time it gets onto your to-do list, which you cascade into your daily schedule, all the thinking about what needs to be done has been unpacked, and you should be able to knock these things off really quickly. Yeah. And if you're not knocking them off really quickly, it's because you haven't done enough detailed planning about thinking what needs to happen, what are the outcomes, mm-hmm. what are the individual steps that need to be taken, what sequence do I need to do these steps in? Mm-hmm. So that gate of going from your next up project into your detailed planning zone is the most important gate. That's where you catch your time dragon. Mm-hmm. There are some numbers that I would recommend. Your detailed planning zone shouldn't have more than one or two items in it. Your execution zone, so where you're doing your work, shouldn't have more than five items on it. Yep. And your holding zone, when you're busy working on something, you might get stuck. You may have to find extra resources. You may delegate some work to somebody. You may have to learn something new that you need to be able to progress. And then you'll park that project temporarily into your holding zone. You shouldn't have more than about two or three projects in your holding zone. And the only way you can get anything out of your work zone is to either complete the project before you bring something in from your next action list, mm-hmm. or to take it out of your holding zone and put it back into detailed planning, put it back into your next up list, or to reject it as something which isn't important anymore and needs to be dropped. And of course, that's highly inefficient, and you want to avoid getting into that situation.
Yep.
So I know it's very difficult to visualize this. I'm a very visual person, and I tend to look at these in visual formats. So what I've done for your listeners is I've produced a download and a mini training session, which they'll be able to access on my website, catchyourtimedragon.com. So if they go to catchyourtimedragon.com/Pete Everett, mm-hmm. They'll be able to get access to a mini training. And in that, I show you how to use a Trello board to set up this decision stage gate system, and explains this in a little bit more detail than what I can on the podcast.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And there'll be a link to that in the show notes. And I really do love the way that you've gone through that. I've been tapping away notes sort of frantically as you've been talking, because it does make sense. I think one of the things that's really interesting about this is that the way you've put it together isn't necessarily a way people would ordinarily sort of logically break things down. There's a logic to it, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily the way. When you're swamped with projects, you're not all of a sudden going to start thinking about, okay, so how do I put gates in place in order to make life easier for myself, make myself more efficient. So the fact that you've taken that step back and actually structured it out is brilliant. And I guess the test with this is that it might feel a little bit strange the first time you do it, but actually if you commit to the process for, it doesn't have to be a mega length of time, but for a bit of time, just give it time to actually work through the cycle a few times, and it will then start to feel far more natural.
Yeah. Time mastery is definitely an exercise of practice. So it's something that needs to be practiced. It's the skill that you're developing, and it takes time to develop that skill, and it takes a bit of time and commitment. So one of the things that chemical engineers are called process engineers, because they design processes.
Yeah.
And that's something that we really understand, is that processes add value, and workflows, that's one thing that we design. In processes, we design workflows as well. So these are some of the skills that come to the fore. And I use the analogies of how we take projects in the engineering environment, and I've started using that to apply this to all the other projects that we look at, whether it's in your personal life or your professional life. And projects can be really small. It can be something as simple as trying to get somebody to come in and fix your washing machine. Let's say your washing machine is broken down. There's a series of steps involved in doing it, which makes it a project. You need to figure out who you're going to call, who's the best supplier, do they have a good reputation, what are the comparative pricings, which is one's going to give you the best value for money, and then what's the telephone number, phone them up, organize it for them to come in, and then open up time in your schedule to be able to be there when they come around. So you can see it's a simple thing in process, in principle, you know, it's like one item on people's to-do list, but it actually takes multiple steps. And if you put a bit of time into breaking it down and and scoping it, now I'm taking this to an extreme because this is a really simple thing.
Yeah.
Other things that you're trying to do, like anything that you're trying to do that's new, if you want to bring in, if you want to start doing a podcast or you want to start putting a YouTube channel in place, that the time it takes you to go from this is an idea to actually putting the routines in place and bedding them down that make it happen, that's a project that you will take through your stage gate system, and it will be in competition with all the other projects that you're working on.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think just to, I know we mentioned it earlier about how a project, it doesn't necessarily need to be just work, but it can be a personal item. I know from my own time management and planning system that I have mentioned this on the podcast before, but it became very apparent to me after sort of 3 or 4 weeks of planning that way, that I did need to include my own personal stuff on the list, because otherwise that time dragon just it overwhelms your entire calendar, and if it's then not in the calendar, it doesn't happen. So I basically had three criteria, all of which were of equal importance for what made it to my list. One was anything that was, you know, to do with the business, work projects, anything to do with cash flow. The second was anything to do with my own health, because if I'm not healthy, then I won't be coming into work and the business will be affected. And then the third one was to do with finances. And that was basically, you know, we do something called a dependency count sometimes in our business, which is where you look at all of the people that are, or beings, so, you know, we even include like family pets in here sometimes, but anybody, any being whose life depends upon the flow of money essentially through our business. So that's staff, partners, children, pets, elderly relatives, all that kind of thing. Not because we want to add a weight to the stuff that we do, but just so we have that corporate sense of responsibility and pulling together, and that acknowledgement that, you know, if I don't pull my weight here, and not just me personally, but anybody in our team, then actually there are other people here that get affected, and we are a family, and we, you know, an extended family together. We really enjoy celebrating Christmas and summers and all that kind of stuff together. But because you can't have the good without the it's not the bad, but the responsibility as well. So by pulling it all together, so they were basically my three criteria. And because of that, I then had to start putting things in my schedule, like when I go to the gym, because if I don't put it on there, it doesn't happen. And that may seem selfish, I suppose, but the consequence of not doing that, of letting my health dragon be, you know, overtake me, is that, well, then my immune system could be down. Then I could get ill. Then, you know, or I get another complication, and because I'm not fit enough, my body can't handle it. So then rather than it affecting me for 1 week, it affects me for a month. And then what's the consequence that that has on the people that are that I'm responsible to, that I'm accountable to operating properly? Do you see what I mean? It all sort of...
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is that everybody has exactly the same amount of time in one day. Yeah. And everything that you need to do is competing for that time. So and that includes personal stuff, that includes your health, which is absolutely important, because without your health, you can't effectively do anything else that needs to be done, both personally and professionally. Mm. So this is why one of the deep insights to me was realizing that things that I can turn into a routine help me get that work done very efficiently and very quickly, where I don't even have to think about it. That's riding the bike.
Yep.
And what you do to put a new routine in place is you treat it like a project.
Yep.
And once you've turned that project, the objectives or the outcomes, into a routine, you then don't have to worry about it, and you can then focus on the next thing. And absolutely, I agree with you. Your looking after your health is part of your daily routine.
You know, and I think if you just take that analogy one step further, I think that becomes, you can see that working out in if you use the gym as an example. So, you know, the first few times I went to the gym, I'd go and try a few things. I'd do some cardio, and then I'd go up to the weights area and I'd just be wandering around thinking, right, well, I could do that now, or I could do this now, or I could do that over there now. But, you know, fast forward 6 or 8 months, and all of a sudden my visits to the gym are far more efficient because I don't wander around aimlessly anymore. I go into the gym and I do 2 sets of cardio, and then I go and do these next 5 exercises, and I know what they are. So I just walk to one, then walk to the next, and walk to the next, and walk to the next. Then I'm out the door. And all of a sudden, a gym visit that I've done exactly the same exercise, but a visit that was taking me, let's say, 90 minutes is now only taking me 55.
Yeah. And this is why checklists and workflows are so important, because it helps you master those, all the activities that you're trying to do in the best amount of time possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely get it. And I love that. I love the way that you've in a very engineer's way, I have to say, have gone and taken a problem and found a solution for it. I think it's brilliant. Thank you for putting that that tutorial available. So that is at catchyourtimedragon.com/Pete Everett. There is a link in the show notes. So the last thing, Brett, other than to say thank you very much, is to say, if people want to reach out to you and find out more about this, where can they get hold of you?
Yeah, sure. So good place to look would be catchyourtimedragon.com. I've also got a personal website, which is brettdawson.com. And this is more kind of a focus on some of the longer term projects. I'm always tinkering on something. I've always got a side hustle or a side interest in some area. And I tend to put that as a collection under brettdawson.com. So it can be a bit of a mixed match. I offer some coaching and life coaching and career coaching on that website as well. I tend to spend most of my time on Facebook and LinkedIn. So you'll see links to my Facebook and LinkedIn profiles on either of those two websites. And one of my medium-term goals is to either get a podcast going or a YouTube channel focusing on the time management stuff.
Fantastic. Well, guys, I hope you've really found that valuable. As I said, I've been sitting here tapping away like crazy so that I didn't miss anything. And the great thing is I get to listen to it again in the edit. So that's, you know, if I have missed anything, I can always update these notes. Thank you very much for your time, Brett. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. We're currently in lockdown with coronavirus, so not 100% sure when that's going to be. But we'll definitely have a beer at some point.
Yes, I look forward to that. And thank you very much for spending some time with me today.
No worries. Cheers, Brett.
All right, cheers.